So this workshop I have titled The Collective Unconscious and Psychopathology. And I really should have said Roman numeral 1, because this is really an introductory overview. And this is such an enormous topic that I will need to follow it up with subsequent workshops and courses for us to get into other areas. My purpose today is to do two things, two fundamental tasks. I would like us to look, for those of you that have not had an opportunity to look at the modeling of Theodore Milan. I personally find, and I know some of my colleagues in the Jungian analysis community find Milan's work very helpful. And if you're a clinician, or if you're trying to sort out your own pathology, as I always try to do, then Milan's system is a helpful kind of framing. If you do not know Theodore Milan and his work, I mean, he is, in my opinion, one of the truly great scientific researchers into psychopathology. For many years, he did not know or care much about Jungian things. I found not long ago when Margaret Shanahan and I attended a training seminar with him, that in his advanced years he has discovered Jung's work and begun to think about how it relates to his own. And so the material we'll be looking at today is prior to his conscious exposure to Jungian psychology. And so I find it interesting that he has sort of found his way. And one of his recent books has focused on an integrative model of psychotherapy, he calls it. And I find that very kind of satisfying and amusing, that here this great researcher, this great scientific researcher, is now talking like a Jungian, see. But what I want us to do is to have an introductory take on Milan's model, because I think if that's all we did, it would be worth the time we spent, because it is very useful to think about the structure of psychopathology. This man, see, if you just read the DSM-3 or the DSM-4, you get a kind of phenomenology of psychopathology. That is, you get descriptions of psychopathology. But in the DSM-4, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual 4, you do not get a structural integrated modeling of psychopathology. And it's fine to have a descriptive manual on psychopathology, but, you know, some of us are not satisfied with that. Some of us are not satisfied with just a description of things. Because if you only describe things, you are not remotely prepared to understand things. And so Milan, the virtue of Milan's work and where he will meet us as Jungians in the Jungian community, he does things that Jungians often do not do. And that is, he looks at all the empirical evidence. And so what you have in Theodore Milan is what I believe is to be the most adequate research science-based modeling of psychopathology. I don't think any other theorist has approached his work as a scientific researcher. He's not a therapist. He's a scientist. And so we will look at his modeling, but not just to look at his modeling. The second thing that I want to do is I want to go and show you briefly how you can think about what Milan has found in terms of his scientific research and what his conclusions have become, how you can understand that in the context of what I would call a neo-Jungian approach. You know, for those of you that have an interest in all this, the niceties of Jungian theory, you know, we've got a lot of camps, a lot of different camps in Jungian circles. And we've got the so-called classical Jungians that pretty much try to keep thinking about Jungian analysis in the way that folks did in Zurich in the early days. And they're trying to be faithful to Jung's own genius about the psyche. Sometimes I poke a little gentle fun at my classical Jungian friends and say they tend to treat the collected works like the Black Bible. You know, it's sort of like a hierophany, a revelation from on high. And if you start to quibble with it or reinterpret or based on new data, they kind of think you're a turncoat or something. And so, but there's a lot of those folks. A lot of them come out of Zurich, you know. And if you graduate from Zurich, you know, you'll get a lot of the classical vision of Jung. And with not too much encounter with contemporary revisions and other schools of thought and so forth. Then you've got the school that comes out of largely comes out of James Hillman's work, which has come to be known as archetypal psychology. And they are what we might call, what I always call, a deconstructionist wing. In fact, what I assert about that wing, see, I personally do not really think that's a Jungian school of thought. And I will address that in some of our discussions and so forth later, because it does not emphasize structure, in spite of the fact that he titled his most recent book The Code, which would imply there's a structure. If you look closely at Hillman's work and the work of many of those that come out of Hillman's work, they do not emphasize the structure of the self or of the psyche. But that's a very strong body of work and body of people. Now, before I became a Jungian analyst, I was an Adlerian analyst. So when I call Hillman and his followers Adlerians, I don't consider that an insult. I just consider it a location of them at the meta-theoretical level. Then there's the wing that we often call the clinical, people will say developmental clinical wing. These are the folks that finally rediscovered Freud and the Freudian tradition. See, Jung never lost it, but these folks have rediscovered it, and they're like a kid with a new toy. And what happens oftentimes when you go to Jungian conferences, national and international congresses, is you see enormous numbers of papers that are given that could be given at a Freudian or object relations conference. And from my point of view, they have very little to do with Jungian psychology. And yet what they're emphasizing is what I might call, or you might call, ego psychology, or object relations kind of emphases, which I will be happy to designate more later when thinking about a Jungian approach to psychopathology. But they do not emphasize the collective unconscious at all. You can go to major Jungian conferences today, so-called Jungian conferences, and it is difficult to find a serious paper on the structures of the collective unconscious. I find that amusing and disturbing. So that's why I'm here, because I want to provide a different point of view. And what I like to say about where I stand on these things is that I'm not a post-Jungian. I don't identify. There are a lot of people say I'm a so-and-so is a post-Jungian, and the Hillmanians often claim that title. Well, I don't consider myself a post-Jungian in that I am trying in my work to build on the foundation of Jung's fundamental theory, which we'll be getting into in a moment. However, I am also not a classical Jungian because I am not a Jungian pietist. I'm not a fundamentalist. I don't think there are five spiritual laws to Jungian psychology that you've got to adhere to, and that if you look at the anima differently, for example, that you're a heretic then and damned forever to perdition or whatever. I don't believe that. I think we have to be psychoanalytic scientists. Jungian psychology makes a bad religion. You know, Jung was a wonderful psychoanalytic researcher and scientist. He was a very, very well-informed dilettante in theology and philosophy. So he was not a good theologian, in my view. He was not a particularly good philosopher. He certainly was not systematic. And since I was a philosophy professor before I was a psychoanalyst, that matters to me. And it's important for people to understand that Jungian psychology, in my view, should be a scientific psychoanalytic approach, which means that we need to pay attention to data. And we need to formulate theories which are related to data. Not just data from other Jungian analysts in our tribe, but data from other folks that do not even know who Jung is. Because if it is anything remotely a science, it has to be related. If you have a theory, it's something that is related to a variety of databases. And so I think that what I try to do, I would like to call a neo-Jungian point of view. That is to say, I try to develop that tradition, but with new information that Jung did not have, and that the early Jungians did not have. And folks, we have enormous information now that Jung did not have.